In court records and investigative materials, the FBI was sitting on a trove of information, some of it richer than what the CIA was gathering abroad. The interest of American-based Islamists in Abdullah Azam is one example. Connections between Ramzi Youssef and the Afghanistan network are another. A third involves the interest of jihadists in airplanes. Here the record is long. In 1995, the FBI interviewed Abdul Hakim Murad, an accomplice of Ramzi Youssef's in the past. Murad volunteered that he attended four American flight schools, and he told police in the Philippines that a variant of the plot involved flying a plane on a suicide mission into CIA headquarters. It is unclear exactly when the FBI first interviewed Essam Al-Ridi and Lucen Kerktu, since their testimony dealt largely with the general Al-Qaeda conspiracy against the United States, information that was fed into the June 1998 indictment. It seems likely that the FBI already had a good deal of material about bin Laden's interest in airplanes. Kerktu discussed how, after extensive training and other skills, Al-Qaeda wanted him to go to flight school in Nairobi and eventually become bin Laden's pilot. Reedy discussed the plane that bin Laden had him buy and the various missions he undertook for the group. He also mentioned that he had trained and taught at the Ed Boardman Aviation School in Texas. His co-pilot on the ill-fated flight in Khartoum, in which bin Laden's plane crashed into a sand pile when its brakes failed, was a man named Ihab Ali, who, it was stipulated in the trial, trained at the Airman Flight School in Norman, Oklahoma. In other words, FBI agents had followed up on Ihab Ali and checked with the flight school to confirm that he had attended it. At a minimum, this was a significant demonstration of interest by Al-Qaeda in flying and American aviation schools. But the FBI did not pursue the issue further. The problem was not just that the FBI moved in only one direction. It was that no one from the outside could steer it any other way. Stubborn independence had been a hallmark of the Bureau since J. Edgar Hoover's early days. In the years since Watergate, when the Nixon White House misused it for political ends, that independence has been strengthened by the ingrained suspicion that a close relationship with the nation's political leadership would inevitably taint the Bureau. In the 1990s, this aversion and the personal inclination of its leaders led the Bureau to become extraordinarily unresponsive to the concerns of not just the White House, but the entire executive branch. Indeed, the FBI became virtually its own independent branch of the government. It worked hard to please those in Congress who appropriated its funds, but it seldom did the same for anyone else. The Bureau's independence and unresponsiveness were reinforced by Louis Freeh. When Freeh was appointed FBI director in 1993 by Bill Clinton, he had a reputation for being fiercely honest and uncompromising, as straight an arrow as America produced. He had been an FBI agent, a federal prosecutor, and a federal district court judge. He had never managed anything remotely like the 20,000-employee bureau, and that lack of experience became an enduring problem. For most of its history, the FBI had been a highly centralized organization. Since the 1980s, however, power had shifted to the field offices, and the FBI evolved into an anarchic patchwork of fiefdoms. The field offices enjoyed remarkable latitude to set their own priorities and manage their own affairs. Under Freeh, according to Bureau veterans, this tendency continued and accelerated. Freeh was the only person at headquarters to whom the field offices responded. 56 FBIs and 56 little FBI directors was a complaint frequently heard among those who saw the SACs willfully going their own way and barely working with one another. Within the Bureau, as Matthew Levitt describes it, New York doesn't talk to headquarters. Headquarters doesn't talk to itself. Operations doesn't talk to the analysts. Field offices don't talk to each other. From the inside, the FBI was a disorganized jumble of competing and unruly power centers. From the outside, it was a surly colossus.